broadcasting from Singapore and broadcasting all around the world. You're listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, taking the pulse of educators from all over the globe and bringing what you need every week. Now, over to your host, Craig Kemp.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the EdTech Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Kemp, and I'm thrilled to have your support. This podcast is sponsored by Education Perfect, known by many as EP. EP is a global leader in online differentiated blended learning, a tool that revolutionizes learning outcomes and teacher productivity around the world. Education Perfect provides content in multiple curriculum areas and languages in countries all over the globe to support learning in an engaging way. Their platform is incredibly powerful for teachers and leaders through the detailed data analytics that it pulls to inform learning. They even integrate AI to automatically suggest next learning tasks for students based on their results. To learn more about EP and to get a free trial, visit bit.ly/EPvideos. The links are in the description below. This week, I want you to think about the EdTech tools you are using in your classroom or school. How many of them do you need on a daily basis? Often in schools, we oversubscribe to EdTech tools because they're free or because you've used them in your last role. Doing an EdTech tools audit a few times a year is a great way to clear the clutter and get down to the tools that actually add value to learning for you as a teacher and for your students as learners. My challenge to you this week is to create a list of all of the apps and subscriptions you have on your devices and that you use with your students. List them into three columns: ones you use daily, ones you use a couple of times a week, and those that you use occasionally. If you get to an app that you haven't used in the last 3 months, get rid of it. Not only will this help you clear your devices, but it will help you get a better insight into the tools that make a difference to teaching and learning in your context. Remember, less is more. Please share your outcomes with me via social media. I'd love to see them. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you for your questions that you continue to send in. This week, I wanted to discuss one question from James in Thailand. He asked, when does the media hype around creating the new normal become the reality of just normal? How do we get there? Thanks for your question, James. It's been something I've been thinking about now for the past few weeks too. A huge part of my consulting world over the past few months has been around the idea of creating the new normal and helping educators and edtech companies move from surviving to thriving. To answer your question, James, I don't feel we're quite there yet. However, it isn't far off. All it takes is some leaders and school admin to make the commitment to change to ensure the best learning experience are present for learners. This might mean a commitment to equitable access to devices, a commitment to software that supports learners in a blended learning environment, or a commitment to auditing edtech in the school to better influence strategy development in the future. The new normal is whatever we want it to be. It'll involve better use of technology to add value to learning in a blended environment, and it will involve targeted training to support and build capacity in our people. In short, it starts with you. If you want the new normal to be the normal, then make it happen. Don't sit back, wait, and talk about it, but action it. And as always, if you're interested in partnering up and working together with me to make this a reality, don't hesitate to reach out. A tool that has positively impacted the authentic and purposeful use of technology into classrooms and meeting rooms that I have worked in is PeerDeck. PeerDeck is a web-based communication platform for K-12 schools that lets teachers create interactive assessments and presentations that students can follow along on their devices. It is incredible in a blended learning environment and a tool that I've seen used to differentiate learning at all grade levels. PeerDeck combines slide presentations with interactive questions and integrates seamlessly with Google Slides and Microsoft PowerPoint. Students log into the presentation with a unique access code and interact with questions while their teachers monitor student and whole class progress. PeerDeck is a freemium service. Teachers and schools can access a wide variety of tools and resources for free or opt to buy this premium account subscription. I highly recommend you take a look at PeerDeck by visiting peerdeck.com. The link is in the description below. Last week, we talked about coaching in the area of educational technology, and I had a lot of great feedback from you. Do make sure you go back, take a listen, and have a think about the way you use human resources in your school to support the development of technology integration and learning. This week, I wanted to touch briefly on blended learning. Blended learning is an approach to education that combines online educational materials and opportunities for interaction online with traditional classroom methods. It requires the physical presence of both teacher and student, with some elements of student control over time, place, path, or pace. When I hear the word blended learning being thrown around, I hope to see EdTech tools that can make teachers' lives easier and students more engaged in their learning. Ultimately, the data in a blended learning environment is important to be easy to find, easy to use, and most importantly, helpful to the overall next steps of the learner. As explained earlier on Education Perfect, they do just that. So check it out by going to bit.ly/epvideos. The team can run you through a demo and set you up with an exclusive free account to help you learn more. If you're wanting to be successful in a blended learning environment, start small and don't try too many things at once. I've shared a few examples and ideas on my social channels recently with a short video series. One of the videos focused on blended learning, and you can find it on any of my social channels and YouTube. The links are in the description below. COVID has forced our hand to be better in a blended learning environment, and countries like Singapore and the United Arab Emirates have committed to the new normal, where education will be more and more blended and equitable access to digital tools and resources are a reality. We have such exciting times ahead of us, and staying up to date is more important now than ever before. Please share your school's blended learning plans and what you do via social media by tagging me at MrKempNZ on Twitter and Instagram and Ignite EdTech on Facebook. If you're after support or ideas for blended learning in your school, don't hesitate to reach out and I'd be happy to help. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Every week, I bring you a short interview with some of my edu heroes, an engaging learning experience with someone who makes a difference in education every day with a particular focus or angle towards educational technology. This week, I had the pleasure of chatting with Don Wetrick and Justin Hardman. Let's have a listen to the chats. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Don Wetrick. You might know him as at Don Wetrick on Twitter, with almost 44,000 followers, where he tweets daily inspiration and shares others' ideas and resources. Don is based in the US and is the president and co-founder of the Start Ed Up Foundation, leading students to seek and act on opportunities via an entrepreneurial way of being. Don is also a talented author and international speaker on the biggest of stages. Don, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk education and technology integration?
I'd rather you write introductions for me. That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to play this later on for my wife and say, see, I'm kind of cool.
I absolutely love it.
She'll disagree. Thanks for having me on.
Totally, man. It's my absolute pleasure to have you on. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
So my current role, man, it's kind of hard because I miss the classroom. I started a nonprofit around entrepreneurialism and innovation. I had taught a very odd class called Innovation and Open Source Learning, and the results were starting to get a lot of attention. And the state of Indiana, where I live in the United States, asked me to start creating more ecosystems. I love education. I love my public educator friends, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for innovation or what we considered innovation. You know, taking a picture of a worksheet and putting it on a, you know, learning management system is not innovation. That's taking a picture of a worksheet. I started to work with students sometimes after school, to do events, also to do entrepreneurial pitch competitions. So we're growing that, we're scaling that to other cities. And the nice thing is, though, is that we have seen more and more in the last year that schools kind of are interested of maybe integrating a little bit into the curriculum, especially like within business classes, just on the single focus mission to get students to be able to understand where the future lies and to see the advantages and opportunities of those things and be able to make those adjustments as opposed to sitting still and being compliant, nice children.
Oh, I love it. It's everything that I would love to be doing as well. I think what you've been able to achieve is super exciting. And I guess you get the opportunity to see so much. What excites you about education today?
So this is going to sound terrible. The absolute reality that has just been put in our face of COVID-19, we're going to experience more innovation and we're going to experience more disruption in the last 10 weeks than we would have normally over 3 years. There's going to be some things that are going to be absolutely essential of learning and how to make some pivots. And I think that there's also a big difference between, you know, being like, you know, a postmortem versus a premortem. You know, we're going to have a postmortem or an autopsy on this, because a lot of schools were not prepared for COVID-19. And so looking back on things is great. We also need a premortem, in the sense that there's probably going to be a round two to this. There's probably going to be another social distancing movement. What's your plan? How does education need to change? What have been some of the things that have stuck out to people and say, okay, we need to acknowledge this? That's really, really, really important.
You're absolutely right. The whole COVID-19 situation has thrown the education world into a bit of a spin, and it's sort of highlighted the need for what people like myself have been saying for a long time, is you need to plan, you need to have strategy, you need to be ready for this. Technology is not just the next best thing, but it's there to help and support you in everything you do. And I think now more than ever, teachers, educators, leaders are realizing the power and importance that technology plays in learning today. Whether or not you throw devices in all of your kids' hands, that's not important. What's important are a couple of things, I think, is one, are your teachers prepared? And are they willing to use technology authentically and purposefully? And two, as a community in countries all over the world, how do we ensure equitable access to devices? I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that, but okay, but let me push in on you a little bit on that. Access to devices, yes, but to do what? You know, if it's just a return to like, hey, so you can, like, I'm being snarky, but like, hey, your teacher took a bunch of pictures of the worksheets. Can you do these worksheets? Is that the best use of that technology?
I 100% agree. And I think it's a matter of, before we get to equitable access of technology, devices, Wi-Fi, whatever it is, how do we best train people to use it authentically and purposefully to actually add value to learning and not just reinvent the wheel, not just substitution, not just putting something out there that we've done before, but actually redefining learning?
I'm going to quote one of my so it's funny. I hope this doesn't sound passive aggressive. My education all-stars are not in education, right? I have learned more about education or what education might need to do from Mike Rowe or from Seth Godin. So I'm gonna quote Seth right now when he, I think it was from Lynchpin, that said education can be boiled down to two things: solving interesting problems and the leadership to get it done. There can be so many interesting problems being solved right now. And truly, like, there's been a lot of free resources put out there. And the kids are like, and I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, because there's been a lot of like, hey, here's a resource. Yeah, that's cool. But Tiger King is on. And so that leadership cabal, and like, and the thing is, I don't blame them, because like, up to this point, school has been about compliance. You do this, I get that. And now, you know, like, hey, you can level up your skills. Well, for why? This is just school. As soon as I get my diploma or my piece of paper, I'm good, right? Well, the world is rapidly changing, and we are starting to head towards a skills-based economy, not a diploma economy. So, you know, very few employers care about what your diploma says, but they do care about what skills you have and that you can showcase it. That is what gets me fired up.
Yeah, I'm all about that as well. I totally agree. I think school's focus is often pointing in the complete wrong direction. I see so many school leadership teams that are just not focused on supporting the best things that are possible for our kids. And I mean, I've got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old now, and I think about this more than ever before. I mean, my kids are little, but man, let them play. Let my kids play. They're small, they're little, let them play. And I just think, as they go through life, how am I going to make sure that I have them in the right place to ensure that they're getting the best possible learning experience? And I want to make sure that they have leaders, they have teachers that are wanting to push boundaries, try new things, and adapt and change to the world that we live in now and the world that we're going to be putting these kids into in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And the most obvious thing that you can ask is, what is the purpose of school? And the most cliche and correct answer is to prepare them for the future. What does the future look like? It doesn't resemble some of the things that we're having them do. It just doesn't. It's heavily built on solving some theoretical problems, usually not many realistic ones. It's built on a lot of memorization. You don't need to memorize anything now. Recall is instant. Solving problems, collaborating in a truly authentic way, not parent share, or not just parent share. I mean, like, these are the things that people are looking for, dying for. And if you know, the students can't think for themselves. We're doing them a disservice because thinking for yourself is in high demand. It is the future.
We've been connected on Twitter for some time now, Don, but we've never met face to face. But the power of this conversation is amazing. And I get this all the time when I go to conferences and I meet people who I've never met before, yet I feel like I've known them for years. So what I try and share with educators is there's this ultimate power that comes with being connected on social media. Whether you're connected with 5 people or 50,000 people, it actually doesn't matter. What matters is where you're getting your information from, who you're connected with, the conversations that you're having. Are you engaging? Are you collaborating? Are you communicating? I mean, tell us about your professional learning networks. Where do you engage? Who do you connect with?
Nowadays, I'm probably a lot more on LinkedIn. It's far less political. It's far less snarky and tribal. And again, my personal muses and collaborators are people that are on the other end of education. They're on the hiring end. I think maybe one of the single greatest follows you can follow and dig into some of her TED Talks and books is Tina Seelig. She is a professor at Stanford. People, you know, like Seth Godin, people like Stephen Kotler, whose latest book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, with Peter Diamandis, that is mind-numbing how fast things are accelerating. The technologies that are coming out that are no longer science fiction, they are science fact. Matter of fact, I just did a lesson. We put out some free lessons for kids. I did a lesson with Uber Elevate CEO. Uber Elevate has started a flying car division. It is already here. They're doing 6-man drone flights. And by 2022, they'll have decent adoption. By 2023, they will have mass adoption. CRISPR technologies, nanobots. I mean, like, if people really understood where the cutting edge technologies were, it's wonderful and it's beautiful, but there's also a lot of things going to go away. Now, understanding where things are going to go, now all of a sudden you have an advantage because you know where things are going to go. Like, for example, here soon, it's going to be very valuable to own at least the top floor of a parking garage in a city. The top floor of a parking garage is the least desirable place on the parking garage, but now Uber Elevate wants to start doing partnerships with either tall buildings or landing zones so they can drop you off. They can't just drop a drone on a street. So if you wanted to, like, even just start, because like the top floors are now going to be turned into stations. Because when the drones land, they need a place to recharge. Somebody want, like, just like a subway station in New York City, there's going to be vendors all around there. So when you get to know where drop zones are, you can start business developing. Knowing that, you're 3 years ahead of the game. You think that real estate is going to be cheaper now? Yes. There's so many opportunities out there for people if you have a front seat on where things are going. And so I understand that thought leaders on where we used to be are important, but I am now gravitating to people that are looking where it's going to be.
So on that note then, Don, I mean, talking about the future and gravitating towards where things are going to be, tell us about one book or resource that you've been reading lately and give us a little bit of information about it and tell us a little bit about why we should be exploring it.
Oh, yes, my favorite. So they have now written a trilogy. So Peter Diamandis and Stephen Kotler are at the dinner table of innovators. I mean, they have frequent conversations with people like Elon and Sir Richard Branson, people like this. So Bold is a great blueprint. That book is about 5 years old, still wonderful, still holds up. But they just wrote, like I said, The Future is Faster Than You Think, Diamandis and Kotler. That should be one. One on probably more of the mindset and on way things that could run is Simon Sinek's latest book, The Infinite Game. He is a thought leader's thought leader. He understands purpose and passion and drive at a good level, not just the theoretical. So I'd put those at the top. Seth Godin's Lynchpin is a classic, but one I think that because he has a decent section in there about education and what it could be. And then I'm going to have to throw in Tina Seelig, several books, Ingenious being one of them, but her latest is called The Creativity Rules. Love that book. She is an innovator's innovator. And full disclosure, if you do get that book, you're like, wait, he was just saying that because she featured my class in chapter 5. So if you ever make, and we were flattered and honored that she did, but Tina is a titan in the innovation field. So I'd check out those books and people.
Thanks for those recommendations. And I mean, you're in that field as well, right? You write books. What inspired you to write? And tell us about your books a little bit.
I'm working on my second one. The first one is this. We were doing so many weird things that I'm like, I need to document this. Because when we started, like, there was no term for genius hour when we started. It wasn't invented yet. And we were doing things that was on the early, early, early stages. And I just wanted to kind of document where we were going and where what our vision was. The next one is probably going to be more along the lines of what I'm talking about now. I have had the luxury of interviewing and having our class meet with Tim Ferriss, having our class talk to people like Tom Bilyeu, Tina Seelig, learning from people like Mark Cuban, those kind of things. So like what I've learned about education, where it could go from non-educators is my next book.
Don, you've given us so much inspiration, so many thoughts, so many ideas. I mean, my brain's gone crazy over the things that I want to go away and look at and investigate now after this discussion. What's the best way for the listeners to follow and connect with you?
I mean, I'm sure a decent amount of your audience is a Twitter person. So I'm on Twitter at Don Wetrick. I'm more active on LinkedIn. it's been a nicer home for us lately. And then obviously the foundation's website is startedupfoundation.org. And lastly, if you order things on Amazon, although some of your Australian audience isn't going to be able to do this, but if you're in the United States, and the next time you order on Amazon, Amazon will give money towards a charity if you ask them to. It's 0.5%, but that adds up. So if you want to add a charity, Start Ed Up Foundation is registered with them. And so when you make that $100 order, I can get $5. Let us know.
Hey, Don, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Same to you. Thank you. And I love the fact that you're doing a podcast and letting other people learn in an audio format. So thank you for what you do, sir.
Today, I have the honor of speaking with Justin Hardman. You might know him as @JaHardman on Twitter. Justin and I have been connected for many years, and it's always a pleasure to connect with him both in person and online. Justin is an EdTech consultant based in Hong Kong and is the director of 21st Century Learning International. Many of you would know that name from the incredible conferences that they run across Asia every year to inspire and engage educators. Justin, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk about education and technology integration?
I definitely am, Craig.
All right, let's go. Why don't you start by describing your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
Sure. I'm currently one of the directors of 21st Century Learning International. We're a Hong Kong-based company that I co-started in 2012. Our mission is building communities of learners, and we do that via professional development, some consulting work, and facilitating online courses. And what really inspires me is our mission statement, which is building communities of learners. So the idea that we're building a platform for educators to connect and learn from each other.
It's an exciting phrase, I think, as well, particularly in today's times as well, and how fast education is changing. But what excites you, Justin, about education today?
Well, I think, this is the EdTech podcast, and I was thinking about what excites me. And actually, what really excites me is broadly education technology. I don't know about you, but my observation is that EdTech in schools is often, I don't know, maybe for a variety of reasons, lacking in self-confidence. I don't know how many times I've been told by people, oh, you know, we'll do away with the tech integrators in a few years. You know, teachers get technology now, and there's a real sense of once you've rolled out a big project like a one-to-one program or a learning management system, whatever, that the school can, quote, check the box and move on to other initiatives. And I think there's really more of a sense now that technology is really part of the fabric of education and is really a key piece of transforming education into something different and not necessarily just being an enabler of the way things have been done, but being a key part of what things, you know, what the future of schools will be. So I think it's a very exciting time to be in education technology, because I think that really we've only scratched the surface of what technology can do in schools. And I think the current period really has revealed that. And I think it's exciting to see what will come next.
I agree. And I think the work you're doing, both in the consultancy work and the conferences and everything else that you do in between, tell us a little bit more about 21st Century Learning International, Justin. How did it start? What do you do? And what are your next steps for the future?
Sure. What really got a start, I mean, was the company is about 6 years old. I'm sorry, 8 years old. I'm aging myself. The conference that gave the company its name, the 21st Century Learning Conference, is now 12 years old. And we really started it with myself and some other people working in similar roles in schools in Hong Kong to create a platform for, at least at that stage, for technology folks in schools to come together and share. There wasn't a platform for this in Hong Kong, and there were some other emerging platforms coming out around the region. And so we thought, well, why not, you know, stop, you know, reinventing the wheel in every school, but have a forum for us to share and learn from one another. And that really kind of grew quite quickly. Suddenly became a conference from 150 to 500, 600. And then a few years after we started it, you know, it was myself and one other person decided, you know, are we going to keep doing this whilst also doing full-time jobs or try and make a go of doing it, you know, as a full-time gig. So then we started a company and started running it full-time for the last few years. And obviously one conference is never enough. So we've added on other events and other courses as we've gone. So, and those courses and those other events weren't necessarily ed tech. So we're very much expanded beyond that. So that's where the communities of learners comes in, because we very much believe that, you know, that there's multiple communities in education. So some of our other conferences are around literacy and numeracy. We have a physical education conference, which is not nothing to do with technology, but is certainly the one that's furthest away. We do, as you mentioned, some consulting work with schools that tends to be working with leadership teams to help them, you know, see the way forward for their particular context and take those steps towards better leveraging technology in their schools. And then finally, we do some online coursework. So at the moment, this is probably where I'm spending most of my time at the moment. Well, we launched it a year and a half ago, but now we're launching the online version of the ISTE Certified Educator Program in partnership with the International Society for Technology and Education. And so that's exciting, because we've done some online work in the past, but now this is, you know, a fully online credential, which is very appropriate for the times, obviously, and forcing us to think in new ways and think about how we can do what we've done so well with face-to-face conferences, of which I still think that there is a real need for that in the long term, but also what can you really do in terms of best practice for online learning for educators.
And Justin, a lot of the work you do is, of course, giving advice, supporting implementation, developing professional learning programs. What's your best advice for educators in relation to educational technology?
Yeah, I think that the best advice is obviously, this is a difficult one. And I think that the thing that it sounds very trite, but I think that keeping the focus on learning. And I think that that's one of those things that sort of sounds obvious and I guess it is, but actually doing it is tough. So I think that keeping the focus on learning is the most important thing when it comes to technology. And you can do that through using frameworks. So, you know, the SAMR and TPACK, and there's other ones out there. Of course, ISTE standards, I think, is a way of doing that. And I think another way of getting at that and keeping the focus on the learning is really the idea that less is more. You know, it's not about using technology per se. It's not about using more technology. It's about how you use technology to transform learning and make learning something different than what it was before, and hopefully better than what it was before. Because, you know, after all, technology is not a value neutral thing. You know, you can use it to amplify traditional practice. You can use it as a total distraction from learning, or you can use it to facilitate new ways of learning. And it's really that facilitating new ways of learning that I think we're interested in. And so I think keeping the focus on that is the key thing. And it's always a challenge because there's a lot of shiny new objects out there.
Yeah, I love the way you describe that as well. And I can't promote enough that less is more, because you just see schools all over the world, particularly the ones that I'm working with, and I'm sure you see it on a daily basis as well, but schools just trying to do too much before they get the basics right. So I think that's great advice. Justin, what's the best way for listeners to follow and connect with you to get a little bit more information about everything you've talked about today? And of course, to follow up a little bit more about what 21st Century Learning International has to offer, and potentially to check out some of your online courses as well.
Sure. I laughed when you introduced me as Jardman. It's actually my Twitter. I never really occurred to me. It's the first time someone's read it out. But my Twitter is a good way of getting me. It's the reason why is a bit of a boring story, but it's actually my middle initial is A. And J. Hardman was taken in an email system years and years ago. And so I stuck the A in there, and I've just kind of used it ever since because it's never taken. So I can always get J A Hardman. So yeah, J A Hardman on Twitter is a good way to reach me, or my email, which you can find. If I don't respond to DMs, then send me an email.
Awesome. And I'll make sure that all these links are in the podcast description below. Thank you so much for your time, Justin.
Thanks, Craig.
Next week, join me for episode 19 of the EdTech Chat podcast, when I'm joined by Mark Barnes and Daisy Christodoulou. One of the things I love doing is giving away prizes as a thank you for tuning in, listening, and hopefully subscribing to the EdTech Chat podcast. Last week, Education Perfect gave away another $250 subscription to their game-changing product. To win, you need to complete the form at bit.ly/edtechwin. The winner has already been contacted directly by me, and it is Shilpa Sanghavi. Congratulations, Shilpa. This week, Education Perfect is giving you one last chance to win another $250 subscription to their game-changing product. To win the $250 subscription, you need to go to bit.ly/edtechwin and complete the simple form. It'll take you less than a minute to complete. The link is in the description below. Competition closes on Wednesday the 9th of September, and the winner will be contacted directly by me and announced on next Friday's episode. Good luck. If you enjoyed today's episode, please smash that subscribe button and share it with your colleagues, friends, and families. I appreciate your support. Please remember to spend 2 minutes to rate the podcast too, so we can reach even more educators and edtech enthusiasts globally. Please share your favorite part of today's episode by tagging me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And please don't hesitate to ask me questions that I can answer in an upcoming episode. Remember, you have the chance to win as well. Check out the links in the description for more. I'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, creating a community for educators to learn, share, and grow. If you like today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode, and be in the drawing to win prizes every week. If you know others that would enjoy the show, please hit that share button and brighten their day. Join us again next week for your weekly EdTech hit with @MrKempNZ. We'll see you again soon.